Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Somebody on you can, by the way, you want to stream the show, if you're out and about, Odyssey app is the best way to go. It's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. There's a rewind feature. You can go back 24 hours and listen to anything that's been said here on the air. It's a great feature to have. Great thing to have the app if you're out of state and you want to listen to, or if you're in state but you're not in the Metro Detroit area, you want to listen to the show or any of the shows, Odyssey app, way to go. If you want to stream with video, we stream every show on twitch.tv. Search for 971 The Ticket. Same thing goes for YouTube on youtube.com. You look up 971 The Ticket, and we have cameras in here in the studios. You can see myself, you can see Kang and Kenny behind the glass, and typically Doug when Doug's here, but Doug's not here today, should be here tomorrow. Look, I lost a little bit with the last call. I was getting frustrated because I think he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. If you don't think that Jared Goff is the quarterback that can lead this team in the playoffs, that's fine. We can have the debate. I'll disagree with it and you'll disagree with me. That's fine. But don't come in saying that you think he's a guy and then give all the evidence that why he's not the guy. Just say that you don't think he's the guy. Or be more articulate and say, look, he does great in the regular season, but I'm worried about him in the playoffs because of what happened. I mean, the evidence contrary to that, he did take a team to the Super Bowl. He did win 2 playoff games last year. And if you want to bring up his quarterback rating in the game against San Francisco because it wasn't, 110, look, he didn't turn the ball over. He had key passes dropped in that game. Right? Did we forget that? They had a 17-point lead because Jared Goff was making plays, because other players are making plays on offense, because the defense was looking good. And then everything went to hell in the second half with a confluence of events that you just wouldn't expect, which we've gone over ad nauseum over the last year. And this game feels like, because it's a loss and ending the season, it's kind of going that same path, although not as easy to pinpoint. There are plays we can pinpoint for sure, but easy to pick on the quarterback in this game, and rightfully so, because he did not play well in this game. But you can't ignore that the defense was also devastated going into the game, and even more so shortly into the game when Anik Robertson breaks his humerus, which, by the way, is the upper arm bone. You know how difficult it is to break your upper arm bone?
So ridiculous, my God. God.
I mean, what?
I said earlier in the show, has a team ever lost 3 players to broken limbs because of friendly fire? As it happened with Aiden Hutchinson, Alex Anzalone, and now Amik Robertson, where their own teammates end up coming in and breaking their arm or leg.
Absolutely amazing.
Before the break, I was saying, I think Jared Goff is kind of starting to enter into Lamar Jackson territory. And what I mean by that is, they have to win a Super Bowl or people are going to question whether they're even a good quarterback or not. Jared Goff has won big games. Playoff games are big games. That last game of the regular season for the number 1 seed versus the Vikings was a big game.
Huge game.
But I do understand why the conversation is being brought up. Can he ultimately win you a Super Bowl? Can he help you win a Super Bowl? And in my mind, the answer is yes. Now, he hasn't done it yet for any team, but I think he can. Lesser quarterbacks have won Super Bowls in this league. I think Jared Goff can definitely win you a Super Bowl. He just hasn't, hopefully, yet. And hopefully it is with the Lions. But I can't shoot down anyone's argument that he hasn't won Super Bowl yet because he hasn't. Like right. I don't have that card to play, you know? I just think that he can. I think he's good enough. Now, if you don't think so, I understand it because he hasn't. But to say that he hasn't won big games at all, I think is different. He has won big games. Now, he's just got to make that, put that run together during the playoffs when it matters the most.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you go, is he playoff tested? Yeah, he's playoff tested. Like I said, he took a Rams team to the Super Bowl. They didn't win. Last year with the Lions, which is more important because it's with this team and what they've done. You know, the first game against the Rams, his quarterback rating in the game was 121.8. Right? Really good. In the win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his quarterback rating in the game was 103.5. You'll take that. Now, the rating was down in the Niners game, but he didn't play poorly. It was 88.8. The reason it's low, because quarterback rating, a lot of it is based on your average yards per completion. That's kind of where they get, or average yards per attempt, I guess. That's where that number shrinks. Even though he didn't turn the ball over, he threw a touchdown and threw a couple passes that were dropped on in really big situations, if you recall. So is he battle-tested enough in the playoffs to show me that he can win? He is. They didn't win on Saturday. And it was ugly. He's not the guy who's perfect. He's not a unicorn. He's not Patrick Mahomes. You know who else isn't? Every other quarterback in the National Football League. Josh Allen isn't Patrick Mahomes either. Josh Allen's really freaking good and is number two behind Patrick Mahomes. And if people want to complain about Lamar Jackson, I mean, if you watch the game in that afternoon, yeah, he made a bad interception and he lost a fumble. But he's the reason that they were able to claw and get their way back into that game. He throws a pass over the middle to Mark Andrews, who then, for some inexplicable reason, the tight end decides to go.
He went backwards.
And then gets hit and fumbles the ball in a game where clearly ball security is the utmost importance because of the weather situation. And you want to, now you're going to yell at Lamar Jackson and say, oh, he doesn't have killer instinct? Flushes that out of his mind, comes back down the field, gets a touchdown. They go for two, throws the pass to Mark Andrews again, and he drops it a la Jackie Smith in Super Bowl 13 for the Cowboys against the Steelers, which still bothers me to this day.
That's right, Super Bowl 13.
It's the same play. Throwing it to a tight end on a low pass because that's where you got to throw it, and the guy drops it in the end zone. That's not on Lamar. Sorry. If your takeaway from the Bills-Ravens game is that Lamar Jackson doesn't have the killer instinct, he can't win in the playoffs, then you're a fool. Because the AFC has three outstanding teams. The AFC is loaded with really good teams, and the Ravens are one of them. And if you don't think that there are 29 other NFL teams who would take Lamar Jackson in a heartbeat over the current quarterback situation, although maybe Washington wouldn't right now because they think they have the next one. I mean, including the Lions, by the way. I don't know what to tell you. Lamar Jackson's outstanding. And his performance in a playoff game on Sunday, that doesn't change my mind on that. I mean, some tough luck there. Now, has he always been great in the playoffs? Nope. But I would bank on him winning a championship at some point. He's great. Am I banking on Jared Goff winning a championship here? I'm not banking on it. I'm saying I think that he can get it done. But the team needs to be good around him because he's not a unicorn. And the team that lined up on defense on Saturday night, as valiant as they were, as great a job as the effort was there, that's not a championship caliber defense. It wasn't. They played really well against Minnesota, but when you take away the last Jenga piece, which was Amik Robertson, the thing collapses. They were able to get pressure on Sam Darnold. They were in Sam Darnold's head. Sam Darnold is not Jaden Daniels. They got no pressure on Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels is so young in the league that nothing's going to get in his head. He's great. He's amazing. Love Jaden Daniels. But good God, man.
And by the way, earlier I said three players that broke their limbs running into their own teammates.
Yeah.
It was actually four. I forgot. Khalil Dorsey. He snapped his ankle running into his own teammate.
That's right.
How's this happen?
There's another one.
That's unbelievable.
Good grief. Look, it's really cold outside. We know this. It's really cold. And if your furnace isn't working, or if you've got some pipes that maybe you're concerned about that they're going to freeze up, you better call the right people. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. These people are awesome. They're going to help you out. The red, white, and blue trucks, you see them all over the place for a reason. They're out there to help people. People have problems. Make sure you're all set. Call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and they're going to get your 2025 started with some peace of mind. Trust me. Well, I guess you don't have to take my word for it, but I wish you would. But if you don't, that's fine. You can check out their A-plus rating they have from the Better Business Bureau or some of the five-star reviews that they have on Google. So whether it's your furnace, your water heater, a boiler, or water filtration, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts. Before we get back to calls and texts at 248-539-9797, I want to say something that's very serious, and then we want to say something that's kind of funny. The serious part is this. The weather is no joke of how cold it is. I just saw a tweet from, it was from one of the weathercasters, and from Channel 4. And they have the wind chill forecast for tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're forecasting it to be, with the wind chill, minus 28 degrees at Metro, minus 29 in Pontiac. That tonight it's supposed to actually, the actual temperature will be below zero. And just you think of all the people out there that don't have a place to go or if they need to get to shelter, that to get there early. And, you know, please be kind out there to people. It's ridiculously cold. That is frighteningly cold. I wish I didn't have to say to people, hey, bring your pets indoors, because there are horrific stories about, you know, pets that are frozen because they're left outside. It's just, it's awful. This is, let's be smart about what's happening out there, and, you know, be kind to people out there too, if you can. It'd be really nice. And the heart goes out to everybody that is in a dire situation. But hopefully there's room at shelters, and that they can find places to go and stay warm as we endure this. And this is going to be a brutal overnight. So that's the serious side. And thank you for that. Now, for something that maybe we can lighten up a little bit and have a little fun with. Kang, did you see the video of the woman who was driving the golf cart with Ryan Day and Will Howard on it after last night's national championship? They're in the tunnel areas of the stadium, and she's supposed to drive them wherever she's supposed to go, and she ends up driving the golf cart straight into the wall. I mean, right into the wall.
Yes,
like full speed golf cart, get go. Like, she gets everybody in. Okay, let's go. Yeah, right. Boom.
Yeah, I saw it this morning, and I thought, has she ever driven anything in her life before? Like, what kind of depth perception do you have? Like, that wall didn't come out of nowhere. It's like it's long as, you know, as the day, right? Like, it's right in front of you.
It's part of the structure.
Yes. And so she does the thing where you back up, try to give yourself some room, and then go forward. I think she did it once. And the second time she thought, well, that's enough room. I'll clear this.
Oh, I have this. That's
not
plenty of room.
Not even close.
I mean,
what?
Like, Ryan Day's in the passenger seat, and then he's like, boom, like, whoa. And then she's like, oh.
Yeah, she laughs like it was no, you just concussed everyone in the cart, lady.
And these guys are like, we just won a national championship, so we're kind of feeling no pain right now, but hey.
It was damaged so bad they just had to walk. Like, the car was, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't, like, try to back it up again. I think she just completely ruined that.
Is this thing drivable?
No. Nope.
She just smashed it right into the wall.
I guess we'll have to walk. What? Who
With
are
a
you?
Limp.
Yeah, right.
with some assistance.
We'll just leave a note.
Yeah. A little post-it right on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right? Sorry.
I mean.
Dude.
It's like loving his moment. He's basking in the glow. He's you know, probably he flipping his middle finger to Lou Holtz and all.
With the neck brace?
I don't know if that was before he got to the podium or after, but either way. Thoughts and prayers to everybody who was in the vehicle
right?
when she smashed it into the wall, the golf cart. Like, what did he just say, hey, Molly, we need you to take Coach Day and the player, Will Howard. Mm-hmm. We need you to take them to over to gate A, if you could, and just use the golf cart. Okay. Like, you wouldn't have to I don't need to explain to you, of course, how to drop or in a golf cart, right? You've got you have a standard driver's license here in the state of Atlanta. This is in the state of Georgia. Is this true? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Good. Good. You got this. Like, you don't have to have that discussion, do you?
You don't have
to. How about asking?
She should just tell them. I can't do it. If she couldn't do it, like, right? It's like, hey, I don't actually know how to drive one of these things. You might want to ask.
Oh my God,
Kenny!
ask a man. Is that what you're saying?
I said Kenny because he's sitting right next to me. Man's got
a. I mean, a dude would a dude. I think in a situation, hey, I got your room. There? No, I got okay. I got back it up again and go back at it and take it out. You know, or a dude would say, hey, hang on tight, you might hit the wall here. You know, I gotta go for it. She just went right into
it. No, not even. It's not even one of those, like, I could just scrape it. No.
No.
Ryan Day's concussed.
No. I was, like I mentioned earlier, I was at the auto show yesterday with my brother and his family, and he's got a giant, one of these obnoxiously large trucks. And you have to eventually go through a little spiral in the parking deck where we were at. And I'm like, are you going to be good in this spiral? Like, we got the clearance. He's like, I hope so. We did. We had it. But, I mean, it was, like, nerve-wracking. And he's driven a truck for years, so it's not a problem for me. I'm like, I would not be able to do this that well. I don't like the spiral thing. And at one point, we just had to, like, make a right to get out of the structure. Or actually, to get into the structure. And it was clear that he wasn't going to be able to make it without backing it up again and making that turn. But at least he did, unlike Molly at the the Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever it is there in Atlanta, smashing into the wall with the winning coach. Anyway, I think
it's the last time they asked Molly to do that.
It might be. Yeah, she might really go. Maybe we'll just maybe stick to catering.
Yeah, so they just all got out and walked.
Yeah. Like, why don't you go with the PR team and work over there? David's next up here, 97 with a ticket. Hey, David.
Hi, Gator.
Hi, David.
Let me tell you. Hey, is that Kane? How you doing? Okay, let me say this. Hi. Let me say this. Jared Goff lost that game for the Lions. He gave 21 points to the
To the other team.
Subtract 21 points from 41. You're at line of that's 20. You gave 21 points to Washington.
Well, they gave him some points for sure, and there were. You know, I think you have to give Washington credit for when they got the turnovers that they were able to convert that eventually because their offense was that good against the Lions' defense. But yes, Jared Goff had a terrible game.
Jared Goff, 3 interceptions.
Yes, Jared Goff had a terrible game.
Look, this dude is terrible. Get somebody else. You better sign somebody else to be a backup. I suggest you try to go out
to be a backup. Well, what is a backup going to do? He's the starting quarterback who won 15 games in the regular season. They won 2 games in the postseason last year. But you're done with him?
Three interceptions in a playoff game.
I understand. So you're done with him. David, let me ask you. So are you done with him?
I'm done with him.
Yes. Okay, thank you, David. Appreciate it. 97-1, the ticket. So, if you haven't seen the video of the golf cart crashing into the wall that is carrying Ryan Day and Will Howard in the tunnel after they won the national championship last night, I have retweeted it at Doug and Gator 971. And it's always going to be funny. I'm watching it again and again and again.
It's unbelievable.
I mean,
she tries to put it in reverse,
right? And
dude, the lady, the car is jacked.
Yeah, it won't. It or won't the even. Cart, it, sorry. The cart is ruined. It won't start again. Like she only tries it once.
It's like off its axles. Yeah, like the wheels.
She hit the wall with such force that it's undrivable in the span of 6 feet. I mean,
yeah, how did she do such damage so quick and in such a small space?
And she like immediately tries to back it out and it just won't happen. And then she just
because it's
gets
total.
Up out of the cart and
laughs and leaves.
Grabs her phone and she's gone. She's gone. Like gone.
Doesn't check if everyone's okay or not.
No, she's like, I gotta go.
Wasn't her responsibility to get them to where they were supposed to go and she just leaves?
Meanwhile, there's a cop right there too. She's like, I'm gone. Cop's like, wait a minute.
The cop was in the cart.
I mean, you're right. It's a triple row seating golf cart that has, looks like Simon on the defense, Will Howard on the offense, the quarterback. Ryan Day's in the passenger seat. She's driving it. And then there's a cop and, I don't know, somebody who's probably a PR person with the Ohio State in the third row. I mean, I don't know how you hit a wall that hard in 6 feet. So hard that the golf cart is now inoperable. Like, if you've been on the golf course, you've driven a golf cart, you know, you've hit some things, you've done some things. You know, you've gotten yourself in situations you shouldn't.
Some terrain you shouldn't be in.
Yeah, exactly. And you're always able to back it out and get yourself back on track. Not this lady. Wham! Anyway, I thought that was... good to bring some levity to the day that needs a little bit of levity. Let's go and pick up Mo, who's next up in your 97-1 the ticket. Hey, Mo.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man.
Just a couple things I'd like to talk about. Jared Goff, Ben Johnson, and what's next for the Lions.
Yes.
So Jared Goff is actually a good quarterback. He's actually like top five this season. You know, it's just after he took that hit, which should have been a flag to the face, that kind of shook him up, and he was shook the whole game after that.
So yeah, I wonder what kind of a role that really played with him, if he was messed up from that or not. Obviously, he left the game for a few plays.
It was a head-on hit, so it did mess him up. That was a head-on hit.
Yeah.
And if it was Patrick Mahomes... that would have been a flag totally. You know, the refs would have called a flag, but it was Jared Goff, so they didn't call no flag on that, and that's what, you know, kind of shook him up. And Ben Johnson, when the running game was going good in this Washington game, he decided to stop running the ball, and that kind of, you know, changed the game.
Well, and, they also got behind, and they were going to start throwing a ball. To your point, and thanks for the call, Jahmyr Gibbs had, I think, 96 yards rushing in the first half on 9 carries. Or was it 11 carries? I forgot. I have my notes here somewhere. And he ended up with 14 carries for 105 yards in the game. So at halftime, Jahmyr Gibbs had 9 carries for 96. So he carried it 5 times for 9 yards in the second half. But David Montgomery picked it up. David Montgomery actually got some yards rushing in the second half. But the problem was they were getting down. They cut it to 31-28, and things were looking good for the Lions. But unfortunately, they couldn't sustain that and keep the Commanders out of the end zone. You know, when you get to 31-28, as I'm referring back to my notes, the next drive was a killer because the Lions had the opportunity to get off the field. It was 4th and 2 at the 5-yard line. And that's when they get the 12 men on the field. You know, that's not on Jared Goff. That's on the defense. And it's also on the coaching staff. Because if the coaching staff recognized that they had too many men on the field and they're trying to get the guy to come off the field and they realize he's not going to get off the field in time, call timeout.
You have to. You cannot. There's no point in saving timeouts at that point. You have to get a stop. 4th and 2 is almost the game right there. Like the Commanders are willing to risk it all. You know, right? It's either points or no points.
Yeah, because they're every bit as aggressive as the
exactly.
Lions
are. So you have to call timeout and get the right personnel. You cannot just gift them a first down, which essentially is a touchdown.
Yeah, and it's one thing if you don't have the right personnel. It's another thing when you actually have 12 men on the field, which is cannot happen. Now, I have a theory on why they had 12 men on the field. I think somebody came in and they were supposed to get somebody.
I think it was Nowoski.
Yeah, and somebody was supposed to come off. Mm-hmm. But that person probably didn't hear because the crowd is so insanely loud at that point. It's right at the end zone. It's a 4th and 2. The crowd's going to be loud. It was as loud as it would have been in that game. But those are excuses. The coaching staff sees it. They need to call the timeout and reset on a 4th and 2.
Someone upstairs doesn't see that and can just like kind of, you know, headset it down like, hey, we got an extra guy. But
well, maybe it happens. But they just, whatever it was, they didn't get it relayed in time to an official to get a timeout called. And they paid for it because that's an automatic first down. And then they get Robinson to run it.
Which is
an
automatic touchdown, basically, at that point.
Then that's in the 4th quarter. And now it's, instead of 31-28 with an opportunity to get the ball.
Yeah.
Now it's 38-28 with 13-29. You know, that hurt. And then the next series is where Jameson Williams threw the interception. So you go from being down 31-28 to now they get the ball back and they just come right down and they score it to make it 45-28 with 7.5 to go in the 4th quarter and it's donezo.
Yeah, they're killers. I think at that point they're moving the ball and you can question Ben Johnson getting a little too aggressive there. Maybe he was pressing. But I'm almost positive they tell J-Mo in practice, you don't force the ball if he's not there. You don't. And he threw the ball when he shouldn't have, and it resulted in a pick.
Yeah, I mean, I like my quarterbacks throwing the football instead
of kidding.
But you know, that's kind of like a glib comment to make. But the reality is these plays are in the offense, and normally they work. And when they work, they're spectacular. And we all talk about how great Ben Johnson is at coming up with these things. The design of the play is there. And if you don't bite on the trick, then you have to have the discipline not to follow through and figure it out. And in Jameson Williams' case, it's either one of two options. Throw the ball out of bounds or tuck it and run. And, you know, in hindsight, if you look at the replay on that, in hindsight, he could have had a monster gain if he tucked it and run because there's like 6 guys in front of him waiting to block. And it just didn't work out that way. And it's a confluence of events. Like last year with all the things that went wrong to blow the 17-point lead against San Francisco in the second half. As we're looking at this, this is what's happening with the Lions. There's, again, a confluence of events that are very tragic, and it's self-inflicted. It's very much self-inflicted. The 12 men on the field, you can't have it. The Jameson Williams interception, you can't have it. It's just, it's really unfortunate because the game turned like that. Just when they got back in, now they're knocked out. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Let's go and pick up Mike, who's next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good. You're Mike. I'm Scott.
Hey, just want to reach in about that Jared Goff. You know, being a born Michigander, I have total respect for this California boy. And I got total faith in the future that he's going to lead us to a Super Bowl. But
okay. That's well said. With everything, I don't know. Don't know where that was going to go, but it was going somewhere. Don is next up. Don's in Howell. Welcome to 97 on the ticket. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing good. So if I'm taking my pie of blame and I'm cutting it up into sections, I feel like I'm going to go ahead and give Jared Goff and the offensive line about 20 to 25% of the total blame. But I really feel like I have to put at least 50% on the performance of the defense. The defense gave up 38 points in the game, whether we gave them the ball with a short field or not. In games past, we were able to overcome some of those things, and the defense able to step up. But the injuries, way too much. I was looking up a stat online. I said, well, you know, how have the injuries affected Detroit or in the NFL? Like, who leads the league in injuries that have affected the team? There was a stat that showed that Detroit was number one on points lost due to injury. I think it was 156 points were contributed or were due to injury from the injuries that they suffered. 156 points, number one in the league.
Well, I'm not sure. Thanks for the call, Don. I don't know how you can attribute points to an injury. I would say that injuries played a massive role in why the Lions weren't able to extend their playoff run. There's no question about it. Absolutely massive role. When you don't have Aiden Hutchinson and Lee McNeil on the defensive line, you don't have Marcus Davenport, who looked like he was going to be a nice compliment to Aiden Hutchinson, but he was gone early in the season. You don't have Derek Barnes, who's a pass-rushing linebacker. You don't have Malcolm Rodriguez for more depth. You don't have Carlton Davis, your number one corner. Then you lose Amik Robertson, the second defensive play of the game for the Lions. He's gone for the game. Who's your second-best cover corner? He gone. Then you lose Melifonwu later on in the game, who's at safety because Brian Branch has moved over to slot corner. I mean, it's so much to overcome, let alone the Kaminskys and the Wingos of the world that got hurt. And, you know, it's just a ton, and it's too much to overcome. And you want to give the pie a blame, we have more than 50% of the defense. I'm not fighting you. I mean, that's where Kang's at. I give it more to Jared Goff because they needed him to be the guy, and he just wasn't. He didn't have it that day. Too many turnovers. And, yeah, it was costly the way things worked out. But I just went through just three quick plays of how different the game would have been right there in the second half, and they're killers. Dumb penalties that you can't explain it away. And is that a defensive penalty to have 12 men on the field, or is that a coaching penalty? I think it's a coaching penalty. They got to call timeout. The coaches have to recognize too many men on the field. Stop the clock. Hit reset. Hit pause. Do something so that you can get back on the field at 4th-and-2 and make a stand. In this game, there were two punts all day long. Each team punted the ball once.
Remember I had set it at 1.5?
Yeah. And I said, I'll take the over. Yeah.
Cash those tickets.
Offensively, Washington ran 73 plays in the game. The Lions had 68 plays in the game. Those are a massive number of plays in a football game. Both teams, a massive number. Washington had 481 yards in offense. The Lions had 521 yards in offense. Absolutely incredible. Neither defense was all that good. But their defense made the plays that made the difference. Saint Ristel with a couple of picks. They had a couple of sacks at Jared Goff. One was obviously very costly with a fumble. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back to 97.1 The Ticket. Gator and Kang with you, along with Kenny working the phones. Doug will be back with us tomorrow. We take your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. We're talking heavy lines today, obviously, with the news of Ben Johnson taking the Bears job. That sucks. We're not happy about that. We await word from the Lions as to what's going to happen in terms of a replacement. They've got plenty of in-house candidates to look at. And then, of course, there's everybody else. If Dan Campbell wants to go outside the organization and find somebody, they can find somebody. I'm not worried about them finding their next offensive coordinator because it's Dan Campbell's team. And, you know, Dan Campbell took over when they let Anthony Lynn let him go of his duties. And that's when things started to take shape. And then he tutored and mentored Ben Johnson. So I'm sure we'll be fine with regards to that. Plus, they've run this offense now for a few years. I feel like Jared Goff knows what he's doing. And they're going to hire somebody that's going to be that Jared's going to be comfortable with working with. And that'll keep the offensive machine rolling. And I'm looking forward to it. We're waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn is meeting with the Jets today, and there are reports out of New York that they don't want him to leave New York. They'd like him to stay and hire him as their next coach. He's got an interview scheduled later in the week with the Saints. We'll see if that one holds up or not. If the Jets do, in fact, decide that Aaron Glenn's their guy and they just don't let him leave. And that creates other issues. Who do you replace him with on defense? Because I think Aaron Glenn was – that's going to be the tougher one to replace. He's had to make tough decisions as a head coach. Dan Campbell has in making changes on the defensive side, and they brought in new coaches on the defensive side, and they've all worked out well with Aaron Glenn. So I think that one's going to be a tougher to fix. But again, they have in-house candidates, and then of course there's a whole network of coaches in college and pro football that he can go to. I guess things got a little spicy today with people with their take on, you know, when you look at the game Saturday and where do you place to blame more. King and I are split on this pretty evenly. He blames the defense more. I blame Jared Goff more. And yet I when I say that, it's not me saying that Jared Goff isn't the guy, because I think he is the guy. I think he is I have no issue with him leading this team for years to come. I think he's absolutely the quarterback of this team that can get them through the playoffs and hopefully to a Super Bowl. Full stop. Right? Is he a unicorn? No. He's got flaws, like most quarterbacks have flaws. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Apparently he's not Jaden Daniels either, who's awfully good. And he's not Lamar Jackson. Is he then that next tier of quarterbacks? Yeah, I think he probably is. In the mix with a lot of guys that are trying to win. It's not easy to win. Really not. And we'll see how far Washington goes. I'm actually rooting for Washington against Philadelphia because I can't stand Philadelphia. And I like Jaden Daniels a lot. But this is kind of where we're at. And last night, yeah, the national championship game took place. And we've been joking about the golf cart incident And if you haven't seen it, I retweeted it out there. You can follow us at DougAndGator971, and you'll see the video of the woman who is trying to drive a golf cart with Ryan Day and then a couple players, Howard and Simon, with the Buckeyes. And then there's a police officer in there, and it looks like maybe a PR person with the Buckeyes. And she takes off in this three-row seated golf cart and immediately smashes it into the wall of the tunnel area of the stadium. It's hit so severely and damaged so bad, it's inoperable. She immediately tries to put it in reverse, hit the gas, and and it will not start. She gets out of the golf cart and bolts. She grabs her phone and leaves, which is kind of a funny video. Nobody was hurt, fortunately, so we can laugh about it.
Except
for the golf cart.
That's hurt pretty bad.
Thoughts and prayers to the... Yeah.
Doubtful to return.
To the golf cart. Yeah, it's definitely doubtful. But we haven't really talked about the game last night, and it was actually a pretty good football game. Ohio State looked like they were pulling away. It was 28-7, and then right on cue, I mean right on cue, the announcers are talking about it, how they need to get a turnover. Actually, not even the announcers. They interviewed Marcus Freeman, the coach of Notre Dame. He's like, we need to get a turnover. And what do? They got a turnover. And they turned that into a quick touchdown. And then they get another score, and things are getting tight. And then they somehow, for some reason, tried kicking a field goal. And maybe it's because they thought fourth and whatever it was, fourth and long was too much to go for. Let's just kick a field goal and take our chances late in the game. That call is going to be questioned for a long, long time, and rightfully so. But they did make a game out of it. It made it really interesting. And then Ohio State was able to hang out at the end, get the kill shot with a deep pass, great play call on third down. They got the man-to-man coverage with Smith, and they threw it to him, and he caught it deep downfield. Brilliant play, and then they're able to kick the field goal. They go up by 10, and it's just insurmountable, or go up by 11, I guess, insurmountable, and win the national championship. Big Ten wins back-to-back national championships, which is awesome, and I'm sure people are having a tough time today here in this state, because we know.
Yeah, I don't think all of the Big Ten celebrate.
Yeah, maybe not all. Although, you know, there are times that some people will just put the conference above, particularly if it's like Big Ten versus SEC. There are people that will convert, whether you're Michigan fans or Ohio State fans or Michigan State fans, whatever your allegiance is. Sometimes you put that aside because you don't want that conference to win. And in a game like last night, where you've got Notre Dame and Ohio State. Ohio State is Michigan's biggest rival. Notre Dame is probably the third biggest rival behind Michigan State. And as far as Notre Dame, Michigan State's concerned, Notre Dame is Michigan State's number two rival behind Michigan. So neither fan base is real thrilled with who's playing in this game. Somebody had to win. I was happy it was Ohio State that won because I didn't want to see Notre Dame win a national championship, because I didn't want them to get rewarded for being an independent, not joining a conference. They're already rewarded enough. But nonetheless, it happens the way it happened. And I think in the end, when everybody complains about the college football playoff, there are too many teams and this and that, and how do you get in, how do you leave this team out and all that. When all is said and done, when the dust cleared, Ohio State's the best team in the country. And they proved it with the run to the national championship. Yes, they stumbled against Michigan. Michigan's in their head. They've got a Michigan problem. Doesn't stop them from being the best team in the country. They avenged an early loss by one score to Oregon to destroy Oregon in the playoff after destroying Tennessee in the playoff. Then they went out and they doubled up Texas with a massive play at the end of the game. And then they beat Notre Dame the way they beat Notre Dame. After the way that game started, with Notre Dame driving 9 minutes and 45 seconds to start the game, running it right down their throat, and you thought, uh-oh, this is going to be trouble. No, Ohio State made the adjustments, and offensively, then they became unstoppable. Ohio State's run through Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, and ultimately Notre Dame, this is why you can like the college football playoff, because you see a team going through a run like that to be declared a national championship because it's a tournament now. That was impressive. I don't care if you don't like Ohio State. If you can somehow put that hatred aside, you have to be impressed with that four-game stretch. That's impressive. And I think they are unquestionably the number one team in the country, and they deserve the national championship. The Michigan fans can be happy that they beat them. They're one of the two teams on the season that beat them. But Ohio State's hoisting the flag, and it's Big Ten championship, number two in a row. We'll see what they do moving forward. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. You want to comment on the national championship game last night. You want to talk Lions? We're talking Lions. We're talking Ben Johnson. We're talking Aaron Glenn and what's next for this team. We'll discuss it all with you next year. 97.1, The Ticket.